Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. When you think of Holland, you think of the capital, Amsterdam, but there's much more to see in this beautiful country. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn. Today is July 25th, 2013. Glad to have you with us for this three-day travel article. We head to Europe, and we actually head to the country of the Netherlands. Holland is not a country. Holland is just a region of the Netherlands. So, but often people will call it Holland. So I even hear big-time announcers on international news programs call it Holland. So it's a very common mistake, and it's an interesting place because there's a mixture of cultures there as far as people from all different parts of Western Europe. And there's some beautiful places, some beautiful towns and cities, and some beautiful people from that area. One of the most beautiful people ever to hail from, or at least ethnically from the Netherlands, Naomi Beeshavel.
Thank you, Bill. We actually started talking about the Netherlands last week when we brought up that newsworthy clip about Queen Beatrix retiring from royalty and handing over the crown to her eldest son, Willem Alexander. Yeah. So the Netherlands now has a new king, and when I was there last summer, it was still under Queen Beatrix.
Okay, so listeners, there you go. Naomi actually is the author of this article that you can find on pages 38, 39, and 40 in your Advanced magazine.
Yeah, I was excited to be able to have the opportunity to write down one of my own experiences, and I hope that all of you will find this interesting as well. I had a wonderful time on my holiday there, and you'll hear all about it over the next 3 days.
I like it. Once in a while, our studio classroom teachers will write a travel article, and it's great to have it here, you know, first person, not just somebody else that is writing it. I know we use a lot of other writers for travel mm-hmm. articles, so I think it's even better when we can have our very own teacher write an article.
I hope so.
Yeah, so I enjoyed the one of you diving in Malbo.
That was
last
fun too.
Year in the Philippines. So, okay, also joining us here in the studio off to my right, as beautiful as Naomi is, this guy's just as handsome. Simon Stops.
Oh, Bill, it's so good to be back. And you know, Naomi, you were just wondering if people would find this interesting. I'll tell you right now, I'm already finding this article interesting. My mother was born in Holland, and I know nothing about the place. My mother obviously is not from a Dutch family, but her parents were working there at the time. So she was born there. In fact, I don't know that she knows very much about it either.
So, yeah, but you were there, though.
I actually – let's not say that because I can't remember for the life of me. I would have been really little if I'd been there.
You were a baby when you were there.
Yeah. We used to take fairly frequent trips to Britain.
Yeah.
And I have a sense that we took a ferry to the Netherlands at some point.
Yeah, you can.
But I don't
do
even know if that's possible.
It is. It is possible. You can do that even today. So it could have happened.
Listeners, it might be true. Okay. I might have been there.
When you were a baby.
I do not remember.
It's hard to envision Simon as a baby.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. Listeners, Simon is about 7 foot tall, about 360 pounds.
Whoa.
Like a giant of a man.
That's pretty big.
Well, so you could be Dutch. I will say most Dutch people are quite tall. Listeners, yeah. If any of you have ever met me in person, you are probably shocked at how tall I am. I am not the only one. When I go to the Netherlands, I feel pretty average, actually.
The average height in the Netherlands of men is 6 feet. And I don't know what the women, their average height is. However, both men and women throughout the world, of all the countries, they are the tallest.
Right. Yep. It's about 183 centimeters on average for men.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, and it wasn't always that way. 150 years ago, they were much shorter, but now for some reason they're taller. So eating their vegetables and lots of protein. We also do have an authentic Dutch person joining us, our third panelist, Amanda Jongepier.
Why, thank you, Bill. That was really well done.
Thank you.
As we were mentioning earlier, my last name is a difficult name for a lot of people, but you did it very well.
Thank you. Well, of course, Amanda, you grew up in New Zealand. However, ethnically, you are a Dutch person.
Right. Both my parents are Dutch. And actually, I would say at home, the culture in my house was very Dutch as well. So Naomi and I often talk together about our home cultures. And actually, I was very jealous when she got to go to Holland for this because it's a great place. And I've been there when I was young as well, and I enjoyed every moment of it.
How old were you when you went?
I was 12 going 13 at the time.
All right. So you were old enough to know what was going on.
Yes. Yeah. Was to visit all my family. Like I still have a lot of uncles and aunts there.
So. Okay. Wow. So the three of you have been there to the Netherlands. Simon's not quite sure, but I'm the only person in the room that has not been there. I have been to
York.
You're
missing out.
But I have missed out. But actually, I've been waiting for you to write this article, so now I know where to go.
Perfect.
Wow. All right. Well, listeners, let's do this. Let's get into our reading. We will break it down into the three sections there. So turn to page 38, and our first reading will be those first two paragraphs.
The Netherlands, out of Amsterdam. To get a taste of Dutch culture, travel beyond the big city. When people discover that my parents were born in the Netherlands, many of them mention that they've been there. Which part, I'll ask. Amsterdam. What an interesting city. Yes, it is quite a city, and certainly worth a visit. It offers plenty of historic buildings, charming restaurants, museums, and parks. But on my visit there last summer, after scrambling through the busy streets for a few hours, I was ready to relax.
The Netherlands, out of Amsterdam. So, you know, of course, we're all familiar with the capital of Amsterdam, and many people, maybe even many of our readers and listeners here in Asia, have flown through there because several of the airlines here in Asia connect through Amsterdam.
Right. The airport's called Schiphol, and that is a very popular airport. There's a lot of traffic that goes through there. And so a lot of people will have a layover in Holland and jump out of the airport, hop on a train, and explore that city a little bit.
I'd like to do that. Yeah, if I had a long layover, I would do that. So is it close to town? How long would it take to get into the city?
20 minutes, 15 maybe.
Oh, my goodness. That's close.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What does our deck say, Simon?
Our deck says, to get a taste of Dutch culture, travel beyond the big city.
Okay. All right. So, again, that's recommended no matter where you travel around the world. Get out into the country and go see some of the other things away from the big cities. And it's almost like a separate culture in many of these places. Okay. How do we start, Amanda?
Well, it says, when Naomi, the author, when people discover that her parents were born in the Netherlands, they mention that they too have been there.
Okay. And then what do you say?
Well, I say, well, which part have you been to? And Amanda, I don't know if you've had this experience as well. People find out that you've got Dutch parents and they say, oh, really? I've been there. And you say, oh, really? And they say, yeah, Amsterdam was so interesting.
Yes, I have had that. And then I go on to mention the different parts that my parents are from. And if they've actually been around that area, they'll be, wow, yeah, I've been there too. Or I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, no idea.
So I'd say a lot of people are familiar with the capital, but not much beyond that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it is quite a city. It's rather unique, actually, in many ways. It almost would be quirky in some ways. Amsterdam is so different. So
yeah, it's a beautiful city. There is a lot to see, a beautiful museum that I would highly recommend called the Rijksmuseum. Gorgeous. And actually, you can read about all of those Amsterdam sites in this month's Studio Classroom magazine if you want to. But to me, it's quite crowded and busy, and just it doesn't give a full picture of the culture of the Netherlands. And I think that's true with, again, most countries. If you only visit the capital, you're not really getting a sense of the country.
Let me ask you something about Amsterdam, too. it is really kind of a center for immigration. And so, and all big cities are like that in countries. However, I think because of Amsterdam's draw and charm, it really attracts people from all over. So you really don't get a feel of the Dutch people there, do you?
I'm not sure if that's fair. I would say throughout the Netherlands, even in smaller towns, you see a good variety of people, you know. Mm-hmm. But the Dutch culture is it's a strong one.
Very strong.
Yeah?
Yes. They establish themselves very strongly wherever they travel around the world.
Okay. All right, Naomi just mentioned museums, restaurants, parks. And then we continue in line, in the next line, Simon, with on her visit.
Yeah, she visited, I guess, last summer and spent time wandering through the streets. It says scrambling through busy streets for a few hours.
Okay. Scrambling. Sounds like the streets were crowded, lots of people. And he almost had to be like Spider-Man to get around.
Sort of rushing through, yes.
Okay.
But after that, you know, I just thought, okay, that was enough. A couple of hours is enough for me in Amsterdam.
When you were there, where were you staying in the city? Did you stay in Amsterdam?
No.
Oh, so you were staying at
a few hours.
Some people's house. And at a few hours was it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. That was enough. You wanted to get out and see the rest
That's
of the country.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's move into our next reading.
Small Town Life. Just 15 minutes east of this world-famous city lies the town of Weesp, home of Van Houten Chocolate and my father's family. On my cousin's old Oma Fiets, literally grandmother bicycle, I had the freedom to explore the cobblestone streets in local style. A weekly open-air market outside the historic town hall brings everyone to the city center to purchase fish, flowers, and more. The smells of fresh bread and gevuldekoek, almond cookies, waft out of bakeries, beckoning buyers to come in. At dusk, families eat together in their neat, ground-level kitchens. Curiously, most homes don't have curtains, but the lack of privacy doesn't seem to worry anyone. Rather, it lends a familiar, comfortable sense of community to the whole town.
Okay, Naomi spent a few busy hours on the streets of Amsterdam, scrambling around. She needed a little relaxation after that, so where did she head to next, Amanda?
Well, she headed just 15 minutes east of Amsterdam into a town called Weesp. And that is a little town. It's actually really close, if you think. Just 15 minutes east heading out of Amsterdam. It's extremely close.
Yeah. Okay. How did you get there? Car? Bus?
Train.
Subway?
Train.
Train?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And this town is the home of...
Van Houten Chocolate. Now, the Dutch are actually pretty famous for chocolate. When it comes to Dutch food, I would say that most of their main courses are not too special, honestly. It's not for everyone. Most of it is a bit bland, but they know how to do sweets.
Yes, they do.
Ooh, okay. Sounds good for me. I love chocolate. So, all right. Not only is it the home of this chocolate company, but also your father's family. And then we continue talking about your cousins.
Well, my cousin lent me her Oma Fiets, and that just means grandmother bicycle. But Dutch bikes are quite famous around the world. A lot of people buy Dutch bikes because they like the style of them. And even in Asia, you see a lot of bikes that take after that style. Mm-hmm. They tend to be a lot heavier, really for road driving and not for mountain biking.
Well, biking is such a part of the culture, mm-hmm. right? This is a staple of transportation for many people as far as getting to work, yeah. school, everything.
Oh, definitely. And that's something else you can do for fun anywhere yeah. in the Netherlands is just sit in a cafe and watch people go by on their bikes and yeah. check out all the things that they're balancing on two wheels. It's
yeah.
pretty fun.
Yeah, the land is level and also it's safe for people mm-hmm. to ride around yeah. on a bicycle everywhere. So, all right, so... while she's riding this grandmother bicycle around, Simon, she had the freedom to do what?
Well, she had the chance to explore cobblestone streets in local style. Cobblestones, of course, are are small stones that you put into the road. And so a very bumpy stone road.
That's how how roads used to be made. Now, we make them with pavement, but of course, a couple of hundred years ago, we made streets with cobblestones, very bumpy and a little tricky on a bicycle, wouldn't that be?
Maybe a little, but it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. All right. Now, in the next paragraph, Amanda.
Well, we learned that she went to a weekly open-air market, which is outside the historic town hall. And there's a picture just at the bottom of the page, one where we can see the cobblestones that Simon mentioned, and also a sign that says, "Welcome to the market." So this is the area where they have this open-air market.
That's the town hall right there with the little tower reaching above, and that's actually the building where my grandfather worked for many, many years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great to see.
Yeah.
Wow. Looks quite charming. And then you've got this marketplace outside. Looks quite charming. And you could get fish and flowers and more. And you describe the surroundings.
Yes. Okay, so one of my favorite things about the Netherlands is the bakeries. The smells of fresh bread and gevulde koek waft out of bakeries. Now, this stuff is... It's fantastic.
Yummy.
Gevulde koek.
Yes.
Mm.
It's a type of almond cookie, and it's a specialty in the Netherlands. And it's something that actually, when my friends go and visit, they will bring extra back from their holiday as a treat to share. It's one of those kinds of specialties.
I think I've had these almond cookies, and they are. I love almonds, and the cookies would be great. Now, the smell wafts out of the bakeries, Simon.
Yeah, I like that word waft. It gives you the idea of a smell floating out of the bakery very slowly. You know, you can smell it from a long way away.
And what is this wafting smell coming out of the bakeries? What is it doing?
Well, it's encouraging people to come in and buy things, right?
Yeah. Beckoning them.
Yeah, the smell is the advertising.
We don't need really commercials. Yeah. We just need the smell floating in the air. And then at dusk, Amanda.
Families eat together in their neat ground-level kitchens. And this is something about Holland which is very unique, is that you can see into people's kitchens there. And it's actually really nice. It gives a very cozy feeling. And we have a word in Dutch. It's called gezellig.
Yes.
Which means, well, it's very hard to describe in English, but it just means that something is very cozy and relaxing.
Yeah, and comfortable and familiar and warm. And so if you have a get together with friends and someone says, "How was it?" You said, "Oh, it was really gezellig." It means you came away with sort of a nice warm feeling. It was a nice time together. And that's how the whole town feels, because you're just riding along and you glance over and there's the family having their dinner and they kind of give you a wave. You know, everyone sees each other and what everyone's doing. There's very little privacy, actually.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really counter to what many cultures actually experience. And, you know, there's in many cultures and in North America, in Asia, there's almost an isolationism that goes on. Mm. People are closed off. We've got big doors and big walls and we're trying to just escape everybody. But this is completely different.
Right.
And I like, you know, you described it there in the next line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't have curtains. And that's something that's also very unique. And it says, but the lack of privacy doesn't seem to worry anyone. I think they feel that it includes the community, that you, like it says in the next line, it lends a familiar, comfortable sense of community to the whole town.
Hmm. Okay. I'd like to see it.
Yeah, it's sort of like a big family.
Yeah, I would like to see it. All right, it's nice. It's nice to read about and imagine. Okay, let's go on to our next reading.
Surrounded by history. Despite the steady pace of life, even the small towns of the Netherlands are bursting with reminders of the country's rich history. In Weesp, the Vecht River is part of the defense line of Amsterdam, a UNESCO World Heritage Site featuring a ring of fortifications constructed 100 years ago. Standing near the old fortress, I gazed across the river at two 17th century windmills, their sails swooping from the sky to the ground and back again. Just 4 kilometers away in Muiden, you can visit the medieval castle of Muiderslot. Once home to Count Floris V, this moat-surrounded fortress is now a museum. It offers a breathtaking armory, vast gardens, and daily falconry demonstrations.
Okay, we continue with our reading at the top of the right column, surrounded by history. Simon.
Yeah, it tells us that even despite the steady pace of life, so even though life is fairly steady and normal, it says even the small towns of the Netherlands are bursting with reminders of the country's rich history. Bursting meaning just full of things that remind you of all of the history that the Netherlands has.
Okay, and we actually have been in the town of
Weesp. Yep.
And we're continuing there.
Right. The Vecht River, which is the river pictured just above this paragraph, is part of the defense line of Amsterdam. Now, I didn't realize this. I've grown up visiting this place regularly, but this time, for the first time, I biked around on my own, and I sort of stumbled across these old fortresses, and I thought, what is going on here? So I looked it up. It turns out that there was this defense line of Amsterdam, which is actually a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Basically, it's a whole circle of fortifications around the countryside surrounding Amsterdam.
Mm, okay. That would have been constructed about 100 years ago, right before World War I.
Yeah, that's right. In the late 19th century, it was constructed. It's interesting because they mention this river. Naomi, I don't know how to say this.
Vecht.
The Vecht River.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because an important part of that defense line of Amsterdam was this idea that they were going to flood big chunks of the country to sort of make Amsterdam an island. Because, of course, many of our listeners will know that the Netherlands is a very low place in many places.
Right. We talked last week about how the new king has a specialty in water management.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Now they were going to flood the area to create Amsterdam as just like an island?
Yeah.
As a defense mechanism?
That's right. That was the idea.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, there Naomi is. She's standing near the old fortress, and she gazes across the river at what, Amanda?
She gazes across the river at two 17th century windmills. And I think that's a very iconic symbol of Holland are windmills. As we can see up in the picture, whenever anybody thinks of windmills, they think of Holland and Holland of windmills.
Okay, there's sails swooping from the sky to the ground and back again.
Yes, so you can see them still in this picture, but it doesn't really give you the full effect. When you see the sails winding around, it's really quite beautiful.
And the sound is amazing. Mm. If you're standing close by, you'll hear the swoosh of the sail. It's actually quite powerful, yeah.
I got to ask you something. When I look at a windmill, you see like the sails, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you notice the sails. I thought the sails would be solid all the way through, but instead they're kind of like a grid, and there's empty spaces in there. Why are they built that way?
It just to catch the wind. That
is that the best way, most effective way?
Apparently, they've been doing it for a long time. There are new models, though, and you'll see them along the highways in the Netherlands as you're driving along. They do have these new ones, the big, you know, concrete ones with metal blades. And so you'll see an old one and a new one right next to each other. It's quite interesting.
All right, what's going on with that windmill right there? It's catching the wind. It's spinning around. What is it doing?
Well, they are mills. In other words, they are maybe grain mills. They actually would use the wind power to grind grain in the old days.
And also, now that I think about it, to pump water in some cases. So, all right, now next we move to another place 4 kilometers away. Where?
In Muiden.
Mm.
And this is one of my favorite places to visit because, of course, it's very close to where my uncle and his family live. But there's a medieval castle there, Muiderslot. We didn't have room for a picture of it here, but you can look it up. It is very cool looking. And it's surrounded by a moat, which means that there's a body of water. Once again, the Dutch believe in the power of water.
Okay.
And so they surround this castle with water to make it harder for their enemies to attack.
Yeah. Okay, all right, so you get this medieval castle. And who lived there?
Tells us that it was once the home of Count Floris V, who's actually a fairly famous guy.
Tell me more.
He was a medieval Dutch count. And he, unlike most counts at the time, he was greatly loved by his people. And I know about him because he was actually killed by the English King Edward I.
Okay. He was kidnapped, did you say?
Well, yeah, there was a plot put together to kidnap him. But his people loved him so much that when they were trying to get him out of the area, they were confronted by this giant group of peasants and they ended up killing him. And, it was a disaster. That's about all I know.
Now, what about this title count? Now, we've got different titles, prince and duke and earl. What about the title count?
I guess the idea here is a count is the person who controls a county.
Okay.
You've sometimes heard the word county, no doubt, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And this county in particular was the county of Holland. So that area of Holland was formerly a county. Yeah.
All right. So there's this medieval castle, moat-surrounded fortress, museum. Did you go to the museum?
I have been there in the past. I didn't go this time, but it is really fun to walk around this old castle. You can smell everything, and you go through all the rooms and see the old furniture. One of my favorite parts is the armory, which I called breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
You see old just armor that people would wear, but also swords and spears and bows and arrows and all of this kind of thing. It's incredible.
Yeah. Armory is where the weapons and ammunitions are stored. There are vast gardens. And then there's another special treat here.
Right. There are daily falconry demonstrations. Now, falconry is the sport of hunting small animals using falcons. And falcons are a wild bird, which are then tamed to do this sport. But they have pointed wings and a long tail. And it's very beautiful to see them do this kind of demonstration.
A lot of fun. And sometimes they'll even let these big birds perch on your arm when you're there. And it's amazing to see.
Yeah, it's a little scary. It's intimidating, actually. It's amazing. They're graceful and yet powerful.
Mm.
So, all right. Thank you, listeners, for joining us here on day one of our visit to the Netherlands. Come on back tomorrow. See you then.